Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Apúrate que se acaban las ofertas de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra hasta 50% en electrodomésticos selectos y hasta 25% extra en combos de electrodomésticos selectos. Y como la Navidad ya se siente, ahorra $4 en luces LED de 100 bombillas en hilera GE. Ahora a solo $5.98. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12/3, selección varía por tienda, solo en tiendas selectas, hasta agotar existencias. Detalles en Lowe's.com.
It's 3:30 on a Wednesday. That means it's time to talk with Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding, your hometown roofing expert. Mike, were you or are you still a sports card / sports memorabilia collector?
I have a bunch of old cards from the 70s that are all boxed up and organized somewhat, but
appraised?
Not anymore.
Graded, any of those things?
I got a lot of old ones.
Appraised and graded?
No.
No.
Who's the prized card of all of them? One card to rule them.
1976 was the year I bought the most overall cards, the Topps football cards. I got boxes of them where you got to open all the packs and break your teeth with all the gum. And I had like six or seven of some players because you get doubles, then triples, then quadruples. And I had one Walter Payton card that year, but that's the one, the Walter Payton. But I also have, Jordan baseball card, an upper deck in his White Sox uniform that apparently has become valuable that I didn't realize was valuable.
Mike, one other thing that's not card related. We have a lot of people who watch the show, hundreds, if not sometimes over 1,000 at any given moment on YouTube. And one of them, apropos of nothing, just saw you pop on and said, Florio looks like a Cheerios guy, that you would just eat a nice, plain, healthy cereal for breakfast. So I just wanted to find out, is Mike Florio, A, even a cereal guy, period? And B, if you are, do you eat and enjoy Cheerios? Just throwing you a curveball.
I have not had a bowl of cereal with milk on it in years. I mean years, like decades. Now, if there's a good cereal in the house that I like, you may sprinkle it on some ice cream or just have a bowl of it.
Wait, what?
Ice cream?
I've never heard of that in my entire life.
So, like, you'll throw cinnamon ice cream? So, like, Cinnamon Toast Crunch on vanilla ice cream kind of deal?
Yes.
Donnie, have you ever done that before?
I mean, sometimes you see places, I mean, like, obviously DQ calls it the Blizzard, but, you know, places will call it, like, whatever.
Yeah.
Like they have like a funny name for what?
But that's usually candy that gets mixed into a soft ice
cream. I don't know. You can get one with like Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Interesting.
This absurdist question that I asked, thanks to BLV in the chat, now I kind of want to, and I don't eat Cinnamon Toast Crunch, I kind of want to break some up and put it on ice cream.
I told you, Malzy, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, some of the best.
All right.
Mike, let's do Aaron Rodgers first. You reported that he wanted to go back into the game Sunday, and then Tomlin confirmed that at his press conference on Tuesday. He just talked to reporters. I said before you came on, if a guy is on the injury report and talks to the media before the game, that's usually a telltale sign he's going to play, especially when it's this early in the week. Is that your understanding of things?
Well, the NFL rules require all players to be available, whether they're injured or not, unless they have a concussion. Those are the only players who aren't required to be made available during the week and after each game. But if he was presented as the starting quarterback and not just as guy in the locker room that they went and talked to, then, yeah, that usually is a sign that the guy is going to play. We've seen that. That was part of the routine the week that the Ravens got in trouble with the injury report for listing Lamar Jackson as fully participating on Friday. And then the next day, oh, wait, we got that wrong and he didn't play. That week, the guy that the backup, Snoop Huntley, did the quarterback availability. So, yeah, I think he's going to play. If he doesn't play, the question is how many weeks is he going to miss? Because if whatever it is bad enough to keep him from playing this week, then common sense says he's not going to play until whatever it is healed, right? I think he's going to play, but I think they brought in a couple of quarterbacks just for a workout, just given the possibility that he's out multiple weeks. I don't think this is a one-week thing if he doesn't play, but I think he will play. They haven't added a quarterback. I think he will play.
How much of a difference do you think there is at this point between the Rodgers we've seen lately and Mason Rudolph, Mike?
12 for 16, 127, a touchdown pass with no idea that he was going to be playing. I think Mason Rudolph would be fine. The offense they're running and the way that Aaron Rodgers is running it, there's not much of a drop-off right now.
Do you buy for a second Mike Tomlin got asked straight up by, I think it was Brooke Pryor from ESPN, about the fact that it's the Bears and Rodgers has tormented them, and does that factor in? And he, you know, cut her off before she could finish the question. He just loves football. He's a love affair with the game. How much do you think the fact that it's the Bears in Chicago that's influencing how likely it is that he plays versus just any old other team that's not like the Packers or the Jets here, Mike?
It was the second game that came up when we realized he was going to play for the Steelers. Rematch with the Packers, and he gets to play the Bears again, and he gets to go back to Soldier Field, the team that he says he owns. He's not going to sublet that team to Mason Rudolph for a week. He's going to go back there, I think, and do everything in his power, unless he is told by someone, you cannot play, and he's prevented from playing. And he did want to come back and play this weekend, but the way that Tom explained it, they didn't have enough time to get everything stabilized. And that's the key. What can they protect it with? So if he falls down again and braces himself, it won't get worse. And even if he understands there's a risk it will get worse, he quite possibly will say, I don't care. This is my last rodeo. I'm going to stay on the bull as long as I can.
I thought, and just to, you know, make this more of a macro conversation for a second, I thought that point, I want to go back into the game. Then Tomlin comes out yesterday and says, I talked to Aaron. He made it clear to me he wants to play against the Bears. The fact that he's pushing so hard to not miss time, Mike, makes me think even more that he right now is of the opinion that he's done after this season. Like, he's not playing
the
long
game. At a minimum, he's aware of the very real possibility it's his last year. He maybe hasn't made a final decision, but he has to treat the rest of this season as if it's the end. He has to. He'd be foolish if he knew for sure he'd be playing next year. There's no guarantee the Steelers are going to want him next year. There's no guarantee anybody's going to want him next year if he decides he wants to play again. So he has to treat this as if it's the last ride.
Mike, one of the other major things that happened in that game was Ja'Marr Chase spitting on Jalen Ramsey. Jalen Ramsey punching him, getting tossed. Ja'Marr Chase insisting he did not spit on Jalen Ramsey, even when what I will call, I think in a court of law, Mike, would you say that this was well beyond a reasonable doubt? Would you say it's incontrovertible evidence that he spit? This is like not even Seinfeld magic loogie territory here. He gets suspended one game by the league. Does the league have that as a standard, like, amount of punishment for that kind of thing? Or is that up to somebody's discretion how many games a guy like Chase would get banned for that?
This is the first time a guy has ever been suspended for spitting on an opponent. The longstanding punishment has been a fine. And even though they've created the impression that Jalen Carter, the Eagles defensive tackle, was suspended for spitting on Dak Prescott in week one, the truth is he was ejected before there had been a single play from scrimmage and then fined. They called it a suspension because they wanted to change the precedent. And that would have been his best argument before the hearing officer. This idea that Ian Rappaport had the report, and I'm not doubting the accuracy of the report. I'm doubting the sanity of whoever came up with this idea of being a good argument. Well, I didn't spit because if I would have spit, I would have spit in his face. I mean, that's just laughable. The best argument to Jordy Nelson, the hearing officer, would have been very simple. There has never been a suspension of a player for spitting. They are changing the precedent dramatically without notice, without warning. They can't do this. It ultimately didn't work, but that would have been the best argument. Now the question is, do you fine Jalen Ramsey for hitting Ja'Marr Chase? I think the way that works out is he'll get fined, he'll have an appeal, and it's going to be one of the same three hearing officers, and they're all former players. I think the argument there is, what would you have done?
Yep.
And that dovetails off of the Mike Tomlin do what comes naturally. I won't be surprised if he's fined $12,172. That's the punishment for punching someone, and then it's overturned on appeal, and hopefully if it is, we'll find out about it.
Mike Tomlin's reaction made me think about that too, Mike. Like, what he said at his press conference yesterday, is there any exception in the rules for throwing a punch. If you get spit on, if somebody says a word, a specific slur maybe, is there anything the ref's discretionary can say, well, wait a minute, yes, I know he threw a punch, but it was warranted in this situation?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Apúrate que se acaban las ofertas de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra hasta 50% en electrodomésticos selectos y hasta 25% extra en combos de electrodomésticos selectos. Y como la Navidad ya se siente, ahorra $4 en luces LED de 100 bombillas en hilera GE. Ahora a solo $5.98. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12/3, selección varía por tienda, solo en tiendas selectas, hasta agotar existencias. Detalles en Lowe's.com.
Technically, no, but that's where the appeal process, I think, okay, could save Jalen Ramsey, because
so no matter what, if the guy throws a punch in a game, he's got to get thrown out, regardless of what happened leading up to it.
If one guy throws a punch and the other guy punches back, they're both gone. They're both gone. The question is, if somebody does something that is clearly over the line, like spitting, will there be a carve-out for the reaction to being spat upon? That's really the key. Are you supposed to just take it? Are you supposed to just point at your chest and say, see, see? So, yeah, that's going to be the next question here. And it's so odd because they publish the fines every week. There were 25 last week, 25 the week before. Every fine imposed by the league for on-field misconduct, everything, touchdown celebrations, hit on a defenseless player, roughing the passer, face mask, whatever. But they never come out and say which ones were overturned. And somebody told me over the weekend, a lot of them get overturned. The league just doesn't come out and say.
If they had a specific carve-out, they could say, if you're hit with spit, you must acquit or something like that. It'd be very catchy, Mike. This is something I think I maybe have asked you before. How does the league, because I think this is right, differentiate or decide that there's daylight between Ramsey, for example, throwing that punch, closed fist, and was it like Tyre Tart or somebody slapped a guy with an open hand and that is not a punch that could get you then thrown out of the game? That seems insane. I think Reggie White proved you could do more damage to a guy with a helmet on with an open-handed slap than with a punch.
That happened the second night of the season.
That's
the Friday
what I thought.
Night game in Brazil.
Yeah.
And Terry McCauley, the rules analyst, said that the NFL distinguishes between a closed fist and an open hand. And this is one of those, the rule book says one thing and the officials apply it differently. And I went and found the rule. There's nothing in there about an open hand. And if it's egregious, the guy should be ejected. And it's funny because a coach from a different team texted me and said, Travis Kelce flopped. And then that coach saw a different angle and he texted back and he said, I was wrong. He got knocked out by Tyre Tart. And yeah, open hand, it shouldn't be an exception. It's always a fine, but it should be an ejection too.
All right, Mike Florio, that was a great interview. We learned that people put cereal on ice
cream. I'm actually going to do it, man. I think I got to go buy some.
This is a great Michael Irvin story. Am I still potted up?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, you're here. Yeah.
Okay. Michael Irvin was at the Cowboys facility years ago, and he had a bowl of cereal, and he put water on it. And Jason Garrett said to him, hey, Michael, you're putting water on your cereal. He said, yeah, I always do. When you grow up the youngest of 12 kids, you eat your cereal with water. The milk's gone by the time it gets to you.
Mm. I have something similar, but it was my brother had dairy allergies as a kid, and he was my older brother. So I grew up thinking, Mike, until he beat like the milk and cheese allergy when he was a teenager, I grew up thinking it was normal to put apple juice in your Cheerios, that was what he would eat them with. I'm not kidding. He would eat a bowl of Cheerios with apple juice.
The neighborhood drunk when I was growing up put beer on his post toasties. I didn't know what post toasties were, but it sounded good.
Thanks, Mike. We'll talk next week.
See you.
There you go, Mike Florio.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Apúrate que se acaban las ofertas de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra hasta 50% en electrodomésticos selectos y hasta 25% extra en combos de electrodomésticos selectos. Y como la Navidad ya se siente, ahorra $4 en luces LED de 100 bombillas en hilera GE. Ahora solo $5.98. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras.
Válido hasta 12/3, selección varía por tienda, solo en tiendas selectas, hasta agotar existencias. Detalles en Lowe's.com.